Hello, this is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. This is
during the kids month.
Yes, for the kiddies.
Yes, child friendly.
Yes, the animated films that your kids probably have not seen or seen it in the bar of the Disney Plus and just scrolling through it. And it's like, that's an old movie. I don't know. Should I watch that? Yeah, we're going to let you know, kids, if you should watch it or not. Yes.
So we're here to help you find entertainment as you're getting back to school and maybe need a distraction from your new world of doing homeschooling.
Exactly. An hour and a half break, if you will. All right. So what are we doing today?
Today we are doing The Emperor's New Groove. And this was something that was actually requested earlier in the year and we never got to it. So figured we would have it as our second animated child-friendly movie this month.
All right. Yeah, so here we go. This movie was released December 10th, 2000. Now, in 2000, the stuff, okay, it is interesting, the TV. All right, I'm going from 1 to 5. You want to guess? This is 2000.
Well, I'm going to guess that there had to be some Friends on there.
Okay.
ER.
ER was 2. Now we in the precipice of like reality game shows and competitions and all that.
So American Idol was probably what, like 3, 4, and 5?
Nope.
Oh, it's Millionaire.
Huh?
Well, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Yes. So that was 3 and 4. Survivor was 1. Like I said, it's the year 2000. Survivor was on rocking. And it's a 3-way split. 5, Friends, Everybody Loves Raymond, and Monday Night Football.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the song everyone was jamming to. Oh, yeah. Because that movie came out in about 2000. It was an independent woman, Destiny's Child. I think that was off the Charlie's Angels soundtrack.
Charlie's Angels, yeah.
All the women make money, throw your hands up at me. Yeah, I couldn't get away from that damn song. And like all the women looking at me side-eyed, like, whatever. Like, get out of here. Oh.
2000. Right about this time, I was about to get a job at a VIP room at a hip hop club.
Nice. So were you like, were you ushering out the champagne with the sparkles and then?
It was bottle service only.
Nice. So
yeah. It's how I paid for a trip to Africa. So, you know,
full circle. Full circle. Yeah. was it like, this is in New York, right?
Yeah, it was New York.
So did like Wu-Tang come through the club? Anybody noticeable?
I think there was a couple athletes, baseball players that hung out there, but I didn't and don't know any baseball players, but I was told by other people that worked there that like, oh, someone's here. So-and-so's here. And I'd be like, sure, whatever.
So just where I dropped the sparkly champagne to. Right.
Are they going to buy some like nice expensive drinks? Fantastic.
Right. That's awesome. Cool. I did not know that. See, man, I mean, I'm just waiting for the Genoa memoir book to come out.
That I had way too many jobs.
Hey, did you ever? Oh no, do you remember that show? Of course, you remember that show. In Living Color.
Yeah.
Okay, it was this skit called Hey Mon. It was like Damon Wayans. Like it was like this Jamaican family, and like right. they had like 90 jobs, whatever. And I gotta remember you back in the day. It's like, yeah, me have 19 jobs.
I mean, you know, at a point in my life, I did have to have two or three jobs in order to pay the bills. And, you know, that's just sometimes how life works out. And you just sort of skip sleeping in order to cover all of that.
Yeah. And plus you lived in New York. So, you know, you have to hustle.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York isn't the cheapest place to live.
No, it isn't.
Nah. All right. So who? The benefit of
working at a hip hop club or a nightclub is that you can party and drink while you're making money. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, because I'm sure like you're getting complimentary shots and drinks.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and they're like, oh, here, take a drink with us. Yeah, take a shot with us. Yeah. Are you going to say no?
Right, exactly. No. Because if I'm drinking their booze, they're going to have to order more. So bring it.
Exactly. Strategy. Jen was all about the strategy. Yeah. Even in her drinking is strategy.
But speaking of drinking. Mm-hmm. Which is part of, there is a little bit of drinking going on in the Emperor's New Groove. So we are diving into some Peruvian cartoon type stories.
Right.
And it is starring David Spade, John Goodman, and Eartha Kitt.
Yes, the Eartha Kitt.
Right. And I have to say, like, of all the casting on here, Eartha Kitt was perfect.
Yes. You know, it's funny that like, Disney didn't cast her, like her voice earlier in like Disney's, you know, movie, like ography as like a bad, like evil princess, like queen or whatever. Because she's amazing. I mean, the original Catwoman. Come on.
She's legendary. Yeah, so much heart for her voice and her talent. And yeah. I remember growing up watching Batman on Nickelodeon. And whenever her Catwoman would come on, it's just, yes. I want to be like her when I grow up.
Oh, man. Yeah. Let she rest in peace. She was amazing in that. It's actually, if you guys want to kind of like look up like her career and the things she was doing like off screen, it was very interesting. And me and Jen will heart this particular film called Boomerang with Eddie Murphy. And she was Lady Eloise. This is also. And so she pretty much like, you know, she seduces. Nope. Like it was like reverse. Kind of like, because yes.
She was sexually harassing him.
Yeah, Marcus, darling. Oh, love that movie so much. She was amazing. Anyway, rest in peace, Eartha Kitt. Anyway, so back to the actual animated film.
Yes. So the film follows Emperor Kuzco, who is turned into a llama by his ex-administrator, Yasma, and must now regain his throne with the help of Pacha, the gentle llama herder, Paca.
So David Spade is the lead.
Yeah, okay. He plays Kuzco.
Now, is this the first Disney animated film that do the whole fourth wall breaking and a la Deadpool style narration of, because I'm trying to think of like a Disney anime movie that actually did this.
It might be the first one.
Yeah. Because when I rewatch,
it doesn't say anything about it in like trivia, but I feel like you're right. It might be the first one.
Yeah. Because I was thinking like all the Disney anime. I don't think they had like a movie that did like the whole fourth wall breaking, like, you know, the main characters talking to the audience and cat, like I said, a la Deadpool style, you know.
Well, okay, but did the genie kind of did that in Aladdin?
Kind of, but the genie wasn't talking to us, the audience. He was more engaging Aladdin. It was maybe a couple of like bits where he would like, you know, say something and kind of look at us for a second, but yeah, but this whole narrative, this whole like structure is like the main character retelling the story talking to us, like, okay, so this is what happened, guys, you know, kind of thing.
This is how I became a llama.
Yeah. And then first half of the movie is kind of like we're catching up to him being the llama. And, you know, he's like the arrogant, you know, emperor, you know. But you know what? So
the movie starts out with him like being rain soaked and he's like, let me catch you up to where how I got here. And we go back and see how he was the emperor of Peru, of the Incan tribes. And he was kind of, you know, your typical stuck up emperor. The world revolves around them. I don't care if your village is here. I'm going to tear it down to build my resort type of situation.
Right. And this is where Pacha comes in, voiced by John Goodman. He pleads to Cusco to don't like to not knock down their home on the hill to make a resort with a pool, you know, for Cusco. But Cusco don't care. He's like, I'm gonna do it, get out of here, like I don't have anything to do with you, bye. At the same time, we have Yzma and her right hand man Kronk, played by Patrick Warburton. If you hear his voice, you would know who he is when you hear his voice. It's like, oh, that guy, I know him. pretty hilarious.
I mean, he's awesome.
Yeah. He's been in a lot of movies. He's pretty funny. So they plan a scheme because Eartha is like, not Eartha, I'm saying, yes, I call her Eartha. Yeah. So Yzma is like, okay, like we need to figure out how to get Cusco out the picture. And so she deal with potions and all that kind of magical stuff. And she made a potion to like kill Cusco a la a drink. Where this is what Genoa is talking about. We're talking about drinking. This is like the key element in the turn of the second act with the drink. The pink drink, right? It's like a pink drink.
Right.
As we drink.
I'm drinking my white trash hurricane.
Yeah, I'm drinking my poor man's margarita, which is margarita and lemonade. I'm sorry, tequila and lemonade.
I mean, you know, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, you know, like, I can't make a margarita off scratch right now. I was like, hey, I got tequila, I got a little bit of lemonade. Hey, margarita. I just don't have lime.
Mine's orange soda and rum because, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. I like what you say. That's the. It's not a hurricane. It's like a slight storm.
It's like a desert storm.
Yeah, desert storm, yes. Slight precipitation. It's not a hurricane. Oh, Sam, man, we're talking about alcohol and the kids review. Strike that. Anyway. So
I feel like the parents are going to need to be drinking while they're watching this with their kids.
So should this be a new, like, scaled in, like parents have a drink while you're watching this.
How many shots do you need?
Yeah, how many shots or poor man's cocktails?
That definitely.
Yeah, we'll fine tune that for the next one. Anyway, so Pacha goes back to his village, you know, with his wife and two kids.
So Eartha turns Kuzco into a llama with the magic potion because Kronk sort of, he doesn't want to kill anyone. He's not that type of person. Kronk is like that dumb muscle bound dude you see at the gym that's like all heart and no brains. And Patrick Warburton just plays it perfectly in the movie. But he doesn't want Eartha to kill Kuzco, so he alters the potion to turn Kuzco into a llama. And when Pacha is on his way back to his village to let his wife and family know the bad news that they're going to be kicked off their mountain, he encounters, he somehow gets a bag with the llama, sort of.
Right, Kuzco was in the bag. No, because hold on, didn't like Kronk was supposed to like throw him in like the river or something like that, or like drown him or something. But
He was still so he did it. He gave him the wrong potion, which turned him into the llama.
Right.
And then Eartha was like, "You have to go kill him," and he was like, "Okay." So he puts him in a bag and throws him off of a waterfall because he's not the killing type, and he figured the waterfall would kill him. It didn't. So the bag ends up on Pacha or Paca's wagon as he's going home. So when he gets home and he's unloading his bag, he finds out he has a llama that can talk, and it's the Emperor.
Yes. Yeah. So now we have, you know, the buddy comedy just kicks in at this. Like, this is like the body of the movie at this point.
Right. I mean, it's David Spade and John Goodman playing off of each other. So this probably won't be an issue for the kids because they won't recognize the voices. But for me, David Spade's voice was always very distracting every time he spoke. I'm like, I couldn't dive into the character of Kuzco, of this being this Incan Peruvian king emperor. Mm-hmm. Because David Spade's voice is so white.
Mm-hmm.
And John Goodman as also like an indigenous farmer and everything. His voice is also very white. So I couldn't get past their voices, but I don't know if the kids will have the same issue as I did.
Oh, no, they totally won't. No. Yeah. I mean, because it's like they don't have that kind of, like, foresight of, like, wait a minute, hold on, like, this don't match, you know, the cultural ethnic significance of the character and what I'm hearing coming out of their mouths. But I think, you know, they still innocent, whatever. Don't, you know, don't shatter their dreams till they get older. So, yeah, and Wendy Matt.
Parents.
Huh?
For the parents, I just think that means that you have to have an extra drink to get past the David Spade voice.
This is 2000. So who do you think, if someone would say, you know what, give us a list of voice actors who you think would be perfect for Kuzco? This is 2000. We can't be 2000 and like 20. We don't know.
1 second.
He could be a comedian or whatever. Yeah.
Michael Garza. He was in Scary Stories. Madison De La Garza. He was in Desperate Housewives.
Okay. I mean, is he? I was saying, but is he funny? I mean,
I need actors that don't sound so white.
All right. Okay. Well, cast have a black voice actor.
Right, Danny Ramirez.
All right.
I'm just throwing out names, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're like black comedians in your house. You know what? You know who I think? Okay, this is 2000. But whatever. All right, go ahead.
Wait. Who is the chief of police in Miami Vice?
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah, I feel like he should be the farmer.
Yeah. Pacha. Yes.
Pacha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pacha. Oh yes. Good call.
That would have been a much better. Like, he just sounds like. He has like that nice tired voice.
Yeah.
That he's been working in the field. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Yes. And you know who I think would have been an awesome Kuzco? John Leguizamo.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. He would have been amazing as Kuzco because he just have that comedic energy. Even if like you hear him, like he got it. Yeah, he can keep it. He can keep up.
Yes, and I feel like the two of that, like those two actors, would never be cast in a movie together. So casting them in this as the villager versus the emperor would have been amazing.
Yes. Well, yeah, and keep Earth the Kid, keep Patrick Warburton, because they were awesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Patrick Warburton's dumb, like his voice, although is a very white sounding voice, it kind of fit the character because it's like this dumb muscle bound dude.
Yes,
and it was like that works for you.
So. Okay, it's funny. Actually, the one voice that I had kind of an issue with was his wife, Pacha's wife. She was like Wendy Malick. Like, talk about like casting the whitest woman voice as the wife. I was like, I don't know. It's like out of all of them, I'm like, okay, well, I can skate with the other voices, but when I heard her, I'm like, okay.
Right. Let's cast a white woman from Buffalo in the role of a Incan villagers.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could get J-Lo as the voice. I mean, she was popping back in 2000, you know. You know, or Salma. Oh, Salma. Yes. Salma Hayek. She needed me in everything. Yes. I'm old Salma.
I would go over J-Lo.
Yes. But yeah, so then, you know, so Pacha is helping Kuzco get back to the palace so he can reclaim.
Right.
Yeah.
His throne, and it's also his birthday,
right?
He was destroying the village to build a new
like water park or something.
Birthday gift to himself,
right? Yeah. So through the adventures, you know, Kuzco start to respect Pacha, and like seeing that, you know, he's actually a good person and he shouldn't, you know, be mean to these village people because they're generally good people and he shouldn't do them like that. And
it's a series of adventures where Kuzco starts to grow a heart, sort of like the Grinch. recognize that maybe he shouldn't be a selfish SOB.
Yes.
Recognizes that the villagers have something to bring, and Pacha sees that maybe it is worth trying to connect with a royal.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah.
So the third act kicks up when they get to the palace and Eartha Kitt, like, oh, what they found out that there's only one, like, potion left. There's only one potion to turn him back, right? And
Yeah.
And so
they don't know which one it is.
Yes.
So when they go to the kid's lair and there's like all of these potions, lots of drinks to drink.
Shot.
And Eartha and Kronk are after them. So they have to quickly do a bunch of shots to find the correct one. And it's like this hilarious sequence of both Eartha and Kuzco doing shots and turning into all these different characters until they find the correct one.
You know what that sequence remind me of? And it's something that we reviewed last week.
No, what does it remind you? What did we review last week?
Sword and Stone. When Merlin and Madam Mim had like the, had the magic off, I guess, like the showdown when they turn into different. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is like Sword and Stone.
Yeah. And it's funny because similar to the Sword and the Stone, where that was all about is sort of the Cinderella story. This is another, we're not focusing on princesses. We're looking at, the male stories of Disney this time around.
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You know, Disney tried to strike a balance between the princesses and, I guess the male.
Every couple years, they realize there's an entire audience of boys out there that they could target.
Yep.
And so they release movies that they think are going to appeal to male children.
Yeah, I mean, the toys are not going to sell themselves, right? So, you know, merchandising is a big factor in the decisions of them making specific films. So there you go.
Yes.
Go ahead.
They do all of their shots. Eartha unfortunately loses out at the end. And Kuzco becomes human again and he realizes he has a heart and he respects the villagers and he builds his resort with a swimming pool next to the mountain versus just destroying the village.
Yeah, you build it right next to Pacha's place. Okay. Now let's not, you know, mention, well, let's mention, let's please. Okay. Is it, was that, okay. Remember like he's going into like this whole musical number. He's like, oh yeah, I'm awesome. Whatever. With the little dude with the afro. Is that Tom Jones that was singing?
It did sound like Tom Jones.
Please confirm that. Because I was like, that sounded like Tom Jones. Because if that is, like, if that is indeed Tom Jones, then... Oh, it is Tom Jones, yes. Theme song.
It is? Well, Sting was actually nominated for an Oscar for his song in this movie.
Yeah.
It was best music, best original song by the name of My Funny Friend and Me. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that song, but we will find it and we will post it on the Facebook feed.
You know what was so like awesomely funny about that whole thing is like Tom Jones is really short, like dude with glasses, kind of almost like a disco get up, and you have kind of like a Jufro a little bit, you know, and he's like saying, oh, and you say Tom Jones like commanding voice coming out this little shirt dude, it's just like like okay, this movie get extra points for that, you know, that's pretty funny.
So I learned something recently about Tom Jones and that in the UK, they had pirate radio back in the 60s. And that was really the only way that kids in the UK were hearing like hippie music because the BBC wouldn't play that.
Oh, did you see that movie?
Yes.
But Philip Seymour Hoffman, really good movie.
It is a good movie. It's not factual, but it's based on some facts.
Right.
But Tom Jones was considered too risque for the BBC, and so the only way kids could hear it was from pirate radio.
Wow.
I mean,
what? How's that risque?
What? Tom Jones doesn't risque.
I mean, it's not unusual. Like, that song was risque.
Yes.
She's a lady. That was risque.
Oh, apparently there's some lyrics in some of his songs about smoking.
Oh Lord. Oh, whatever. Whatever. I mean, the Beatles had so many I ain't gonna get on that.
Gonna be playing the Beatles.
Yeah. Well, they support their own. Oh Lord. Anyway.
Our rating for the kids' movies is sit on the sofa and watch it. I'd rather be doing school work virtually, or I'd rather go play in the park and get COVID. So how would you rate this?
You know, second time around watching this, actually, this is the second time viewing this since the first time it came out. I was like, yeah, I'm like, wow, it's been a while. There's a lot of things that I rewind and I see, I'm like, oh, well, I forgot all about this scene or whatever. But it was a lot of there were things in here that I like, and there were things that I thought, you know, kind of sort of missed the mark, but there were more things to me when I rewatched it that worked, opposite didn't work. And like I said, the whole fourth wall thing, that's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, wait a minute, like is that the first time Disney ever like did that narrative of like the main character actually talking to the audience and doing a whole reverse comeback. Okay, now we're back. But no, that's not how it happened. This is how it really happened kind of thing. I thought that was really like forward thinking on them to try something different with their animation. You know, you got Tom Jones, you got Eartha Kitt. I mean, it's a sit down with your kids and, you know, check it out. That's what I got.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, like you, the second time I had seen it. And it was definitely, once I got over the whole David Spade, John Goodman thing, I did enjoy it, but it probably took 20 minutes for me to get past their voices. They were just so jarring for me. But I feel like if I'm a kid and don't recognize their voices, it's definitely sit on the sofa. They're fun, entertaining characters that have lots of misadventures that I think kids will find amusing.
Yeah.
And it's new songs that the parents probably haven't heard before, so that, you know, if they're tired of the Frozen songs, whatever, singing nowadays, that this might be something appealing for the parents. So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so sit on the sofa. I would definitely, for the parents, have at least one drink. Unless you really enjoy David Spade and John Goodman.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an issue with John Goodman's voice. I mean, within the context of Pacha, yes. But David Spade, more, I'm kind of like, eh. Like, they could have got somebody else.
It was David Spade's voice that mostly annoyed me.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it is what it is. But we had Eartha Kitt get us through this. And her awesome, illustrious voice. May she rest in peace. She was amazing. Yeah, so there you have it. The Emperor's New Groove.
Yep, so we will continue to review kids' movies and this month. And then in October, our favorite month, we'll go back to doing adult-themed horror movies.
Yeah, so stay away, kids. Yeah, until Thursday, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and...
your mask.
Yes. Peace.